Roth, 866-313-3733. Ruining it for everybody else. What's behind door number three? Robin, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Dave. I'm great.
Smoking. Did you actually stay up last night, or did you get up for this?
I got up, but I only had about 2.5 hours sleep, so be gentle, baby.
Robin is visiting us up from Los Angeles. Perhaps you have a take on this one. We're going down the news here. It says, teacher busted in kid brawl. Already we have an editorial bias here. Teacher Jose Garcia at MS 390 in University Heights. I don't know where that is, allegedly grabbed a 10-year-old boy by the throat and told him, I'll kill you. Okay.
I didn't know my dad was teaching.
Okay, now, do you think that that would, well, no, okay, already they're saying allegedly. And if he said to the kid, I'll kill you, how many times did your parents ever say to that? If you do this, I'll kill you, right? You know that that's
pretty
false.
Pretty much every day.
Every day, at least once before breakfast. If you don't do this, I'm going to kill you, kids. You never heard that before, but now everybody's taking it literally. So what do we have here? Do we have a kid who actually has some bruises on his throat, who's now traumatized and scarred for life, or do we have a mommy who's looking for some litigation money?
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say mom's got some needs, but you don't know. You know, are there pictures of the kid?
I don't know. Does anybody else heard this story? Anybody else seen this? You know what this reminds me of is when they had the little girl that they had to put in handcuffs. Do you remember that? It was on television. Yeah. She's a little 10-year-old girl or whatever, and she was really struggling and really feisty and noisy. She was spitting and clawing and trying to bite the EMTs who were there. I believe there was one paramedic and two EMTs who showed up to deal with this child. And there was a big brouhaha because they put her in handcuffs and took her out of the place, okay? And I don't know if other kids saw it or whatever, but there was a film of it. There was video of it. And there was noise. I don't know if there was ensuing lawsuits. Are you familiar with this, Robin?
No. Did this happen here in New York?
Okay, here we have another thing. No, I believe it was in Massachusetts where the little girl was, it was a real city. You know, it wasn't like Dothan, Alabama, or something. It wasn't Radcliffe, Kentucky. It was like Chicago or New England or something.
Why were they there in the first place? What'd she do that brought the paramedics out?
She had a whole history of acting out, and she clearly hadn't been, she wasn't mentally defective or anything, but you know, you got to teach kids self-control. And this kid evidently was acting out routinely. They had video from the nurse's office where the kid was acting out and throwing things and kicking and refusing and biting like that. And evidently she started doing that again on another episode, and they took her to the office and she was uncooperative and was kicking and biting, and they called in the paramedics. This happens frequently up at the grade schools and stuff. I've made a lot of calls going up to PS whatever, up towards Yonkers in the 47th precinct. I've done it down in East New York, okay? Numbers of places. And you get little kids who show up. You get a little 9-year-old boy, you can tell right away. He's got diamond earrings. He's got a little necklace on that's got his first name initial. I can see Brian shaking his head. Oh, no. You know, he's got the new tennis shoes, and you know that mom is probably just a hairdresser squeezing some kid half her age, and Junior never got the time of day. In fact, he doesn't know how to tell time. All he knows is how to act out, and he's routinely, these kids will go and scare, they'll throw an apple. I went and picked one kid up. His name was, I won't say it, but I went and picked him up. He had thrown an apple and broken the teacher's nose. It's some middle-aged white dame.
Quite a shot.
Oh, yeah.
He was then drafted by the Red Sox, and the rest is history.
He's got a future, at least, huh? But evidently, he had been picked up a number of times, and this kid was rough. He was trying to bite us and so forth. And it was at the same time that this happened, as far as this little girl who had been handcuffed. And I had brought up with the fellas, my instructors at the time, what do you do with a case like that? Somebody's trying to bite. I've had adults try and bite me, you know, after dark. Well, there's a couple bad jokes in there.
I'll pass.
But, you know, what we usually do is we wrap you up in a bed sheet. You know, if we don't have one of the body bags, you know, you're going to put you in, you're going to look like Eddie Murphy in Gumby from Saturday Night Live.
So why didn't they do that to this little girl?
Well,
why'd they handcuff her? Was it because there was a camera around?
I don't know what their process was. Perhaps they didn't have a bed sheet. Oh, come on, it's a grade school or something like that. But even if you did that,
wrap her in the flag.
Well, yeah, but even if you wrap her up in a bed sheet, you're going to get all kinds of grief for handling whatever. And then people start to litigate. They teach you very early on that under any patient, good, bad, or ugly, in the middle, there's an attorney waiting for you.
Well, we've turned into such a litigation country.
Okay, can you explain what you mean by litigation country?
Oh God, everybody's suing everybody else for anything.
And do you know how that actually works, what the lawsuit process is?
Not really, do you?
Okay, yeah. Oh, you bet I do.
Oh, yeah. I imagine you do. But I was thinking about Matt. You were saying that, I don't remember who it was, your PD was called Matt something yesterday, and if he had said it to a woman, it would have been a whole new ball.
You called him an a-hole.
Yeah.
Straight out from 2 inches away from his face.
Yeah, and the first thing I thought is, oh yeah, you could have retired on that.
Oh, if he'd done it to you,
absolutely,
you could have. He would have been kicked out. They would have.
Frankly, I would have just taken his job, but you know, that's me.
No, really, they would have pulled his nostrils back over his ugly little skull and stuffed his head so far up his tush and then tie his legs into a little bow tie and bowled him right out of this city, baby, right out of this business, man. So what do you think? Should that double standard exist?
That's a tough question, man. I think, there are going to be those maybe 5 out of 100 lawsuits, maybe 5 out of 200 that are really legit. But no, I'm just too old to have seen. I've seen too many that are just absurd.
Well, most people don't understand how the process works, and here's how it goes. Most folks who are completely ignorant will say that if you don't go to court, then that demonstrates that you're guilty. You must defend yourself or you're saying that you're guilty. Only an idiot would say that. Because what happens is if there's even a semblance of a possibility, all you got to do, like that girl with Kobe Bryant, is file the charge and grind and grind and grind. What you do is you find yourself an attorney who's willing to work for a percentage of what you win.
Well, aren't they all now? I mean, that's the Accidentes and all those, you know, those commercials you see. And, and they're all on spec. I don't think they're getting an upfront fee.
No, they're getting 40%.
Okay. Yeah, they're getting big at the end, you know.
Oh, majorly. And then all you got to do is grind and grind. And you'll see on the television show how every housekeeper who barely speaks English turns out to be Sylvester Stallone's business manager, right? Oh, did you ever wonder? I had somebody working at the house whose primary responsibility was picking the mail out of the box, putting it on the kitchen table, and making sure the pool guy could get in. He listed himself as my promotion director, my accountant, my publicity director. Seriously. And even though this is retardedly crazy, crazy, crazy stuff, judge doesn't know that. Arbitrator doesn't know that. And since you've got somebody who's working for a percentage compared to if you get sued, now you have to get a litigating attorney who's going to charge you $400 or $500 an hour. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all went into the wrong business, frankly.
Well, no, I think.
Well, maybe not you.
I think it's crime. I think it's a crime. And you get people like, remember when O'Reilly was talking dirty or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was hammering him, saying, well, if you just settle, then you must be guilty. Anybody who says that said, no, you settle because you don't want to go bankrupt. You always have to settle onto those kinds of things because you'll drag a court case out for 7 years.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, once you get to that certain echelon in money, that it's easier to just throw money at something, make it go away. Who wants to drag it out? I love the O'Reilly thing, though, because it was the only thing he wouldn't talk about. This guy's so verbose.
And didn't he?
And he talked about it. Like, he said one thing on the air, I think, And then he just said, I'm not going to talk about this anymore.
But didn't they have a tape, actually, of the conversation?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that came out. And he was talking trash, right? He was talking dirty to this girl, right?
Oh, yeah. He was talking real dirty.
So should he be sued for that? Talking dirty is an art form.
You know what? He shouldn't be sued for it unless she said, you know what? This was fun once. Let's not do this anymore. Once she says, back off, buddy. And sued? I don't know. That's tough. You can make the point, too. Well, why don't you just leave your job, honey, and go work for somebody else?
Who was she? Where was she working?
She was working at the network, I think.
Okay. And was she a paramour of hers? Of his? Was she like a date of his or a squeeze or a mistress?
Well, apparently, from what I recall him saying, they had some intimate moments. But I don't know. Maybe it was in his head. Maybe it was, I don't know.
Well, no, you don't just start off with...
Yeah, I don't think it was the first phone call. Let's put it that way.
You don't just start off with, hi, my name's Dave. I start with tying you up. Well, I've started with that. Yeah. Right after a show, it all flies, okay?
Yeah. But
was it a hotel phone? Because that's legal.
And pricey.
I've run up some serious dirty phone call bills. No, really, talking dirty is an art form. The dirtiest part of the human body is your ears. I'm already halfway inside you with these words, baby.
For me, it was always my hands, but whatever.
It's a good close second best, baby. Hutch is stunned. He can't run the volume anymore. He's
like, oh, no. Hang on. I love talking dirty. Oh, I love
are you an
that
expert?
Accent.
Does your wife listen?
Oh, of course she listens.
You love talking dirty. Have you ever talked dirty to a person, though?
Of course I've talked dirty to a person.
One of the reasons I got this radio job is I talk all the time for hours on end. And for the first time, it's actually going to be to somebody. Yeah, come on. Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-3733, way, way too early in the morning. I don't need to hear about dirty talk from you. I'm going to ask your wife, Hutch. Also, number 8, Martin, Violent Kids Today. Hey, aren't they on Sony? I got their new album, Mid-Level Fury. I love that. Actually, the name of the band is Mid-Level Fury. Okay, no, the name of the band is Martin. Martin, you're on. You're in the spotlight.
How you doing, Dave?
Extraordinary. Best damn day of my whole freaking life, kid.
Very good. Yeah. In reference to the teacher disciplining the child in school.
What's your take on that?
I'm all for that. Kids today, there's no discipline in their life whatsoever. When I was growing up, I'm 40 years old. When I was growing up, you know, I talked back to a teacher, I got backhanded, which, you know, kept me in lines, kept me on the straight and narrow. Kids today, my wife was killed 4 years ago by 2 16-year-old drug addicts.
Oh, I know them.
And they have in their life today.
I know exactly what you're talking about, okay? But what you're reflecting on probably are the most prominent kinds of kids who are in the media today. You're talking about Paris Hilton. You're talking about Lindsay. You're talking about Britney Spears. You're talking about, the kids of showbiz people, all right, who are coddled and whatever. Have you visited, do you know anybody who's in the American military today, my friend? Have you visited any kind of an air base or a military base recently, an army base here in the United States or a naval installation in the United States today recently? Seriously, have you?
No, I haven't.
Because the kids there today easily match the greatest generation, which was World War II. My Uncle Manny will tell you that. He's 86. His wife is also 34 years younger than him, so he knows, brother.
So he's talking dirty.
No, I'm serious. You think an aircraft carrier is run by adults like me? No, there's one guy like me yelling at a bunch of 19-year-olds, and they run it straight, and they make it happen. Have you been to a ranch lately? Have you been to a dairy farm lately? Have you been to any place that's rural? Have you been to Radcliffe, Kentucky, or West Point, Mississippi lately? You been to Houma, Louisiana? Because those places are full of great kids. Great kids. Kids who are forward thinking, who are full of culture. They're watching MTV. They're watching the VH1 and the BET, just like everybody else. But they come up with a different kind of awareness, perhaps. So I don't think you can say that all kids. I think that what happens in the city is that the parents leave them to be on their own. And they don't farm it out anymore because everybody's afraid that the coach is going to be a molester or that the baseball guy is going to be teach him how to be Jewish instead of Catholic or that the hockey guy is going to make him violent or whatever. But that's the tradition. The parents can't handle it. You have to farm it out. For me, it was Boy Scouts, karate lessons, swimming lessons, guitar lessons, more swimming lessons. Are you still with me? And do you have kids right now?
Yes, I have 2 daughters.
And do you beat them regularly?
Absolutely. I'm
Do you enjoy it?
Hey, you know, sticks and stones can really break bones, but I find that words cause permanent damage, and they're a little more effective in that term. You know, using command voice is pretty much all you need to get a terrier to do what you want. Most kids are terriers. Hey, the gate's open. Love you, but gotta go. Whoop. a stern voice. But today, if you even raise your voice, you'll have to scar a child initially. You know, there's a very famous Japanese tattoo where it's called the lion dog. And you'll see, if I showed it to you, you would recognize it. There's a little baby like a puppy, and it's crying towards the lion up on top. Ooh, we just flipped up on something. I'm getting some kind of feedback.
Oh, he hung up. That's okay. Oh.
That's all right. And it's because you got to throw your kid down to the bottom and let him crawl up on his own. And the parents always get its heart torn out. Oh, it's crying. Oh, the little baby is so alone. Oh, she's struggling. She's struggling. Don't reach. You're going to screw it up. Got to let the kid learn his way. And if it takes a little bit of a harsh voice, I think that's the way to go. I think the biggest mistake we make is looking at the social retards who populate a lot of the gossip columns and the tabloids, because they're a guilty pleasure. I love watching the Gastineau girls.
Well, that's the thing. It's like kids have become entertainment now.
Do you watch the Gastineau girls?
I've seen it. I can't say that I have it on my TiVo, but I've seen it.
And what do you think?
It's the perfect entertainment is watching other people screw up. What's better than that? And I think that's part of why the kids are in the media so much today. There's so many of them are so screwed up, and you can't stop reading about it because it's kind of fun.
Well, we get to see it on the real world,
yep.
You know, and those are codified characters. You dig? Here's the outraged model, or the ex-model, or the gonna-be model.
Yeah.
Here's the outraged gay kid. Here is the one that is from a, okay, Southern religious conservative
right.
background, but about to get her first belly ring. I call it guilty pleasure yeah. watching this, you know?
And then you get him again like 5 or 7 years later on the Real Life when they're a little bit older.
Oh, that's the
one.
That's the most
that
guilty pleasure of
TiVo.
All. But now people have careers. Now I see what is the daughter in the Gastineau's. Her name Brittany, I think it is. Brittany Gastineau. Does she realize what people are thinking?
She can't possibly.
People are laughing at, not with. Is that correct or am I mistaking this? They don't see nods of the head. You got to say something, Hutch.
Do you know what? I'm like you, Robin. I've only seen like glimpses of the Gastineau girls. Can't say that I'm a big fan. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a laughing at.
No, well, it's
with.
A guilty pleasure.
I don't think they know it though. The producers know it.
Exactly.
But I don't think they
exactly.
know it. And that's right. what makes it so great. That's what makes us the fly on the wall watching them, because they don't realize the way we're viewing it.
Hilfiger's daughter did a thing like that. Tommy Hilfiger's daughter had a reality series, uh-huh. and her friend was also part of it, and it was the same scenario. I got a question. Do they really think that we're all with it, or do they not realize that this is like, there is no humor unless there's a banana peel. Somebody has to fall, baby. And if they're going to play that part, do they realize it, or are they just selling off slices of their embarrassment for money? Because that is the American way.
I don't think they're not old enough to be embarrassed yet.
I don't know. What age do you become embarrassed?
I don't know. They're going to wake up one day and say, oh, my God, what did I do? I mean, everybody in this room is probably old enough, except you, maybe. I don't know how old you are.
She's looking at the guitarist.
to have had that moment, though, where, you know, it's like, oh. You know, what did I do? What did I say? And I don't think they've reached it yet. What are these girls, like 20?
Well, wait, Brittany Gastineau looks like she's in her early 20s, and
yeah.
Mom looks like what? 50. How do I hold your finger?
Late 20s.
Okay, Ollie Hilfiger and Rich Girls on MTV. And these girls, you know, would drive around in the back of the limo, and, you know, and they'd go to all the shopping. And everything was cute. What are you showing? Hutch is showing me a sign. That's not cute. says we need to break for spots. I'm going shopping with Brittany Gastineau, baby.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet. People of Earth, attention.
Willkommen zu David Lee Roth, Zen und der Kunst des zuletzt Lachens. Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the Art of Laughing Last.
Roth Radio, free radio, free FM, talking about freedom and not just the kind of freedom you get from a box of maxi pads. Give us a call, 866.
They give you wings, I understand. Not just freedom, you get wings with
that's
those.
Red Bull, darling. That's Red Bull.
That actually was maxi pads. That was a big thing. Maxi pads with wings. What the hell
you did the ad for that?
I didn't do the ad for it, no, but.
I don't want to know anymore.
Believe me, 866. It's something I wouldn't forget.
I don't want to know anymore. 866-313. 373. All right, I do want to know
it
more.
Was a, but, okay, it was like a wrap thing. It would wrap around and adhere to your garments.
Yeah, okay.
As it were.
866-313.
Your garments. I turned Mormon on you there.
Three, more man than woman?
For garments, yeah.
Toll free, 866-313-3733. Or we are on the internet and we're getting all kinds of noise from around the world here. DavidLeeRoth.com. By the way, that kid who was in the brawl had marks on his neck. And let me see what Eric, give me one second. Junior had marks on his neck, police said. Garcia was charged with assault and endangering the welfare of a minor. There's a pretty broad-based accusation. I could be accused of that, right? I think I sexually molested an entire generation.
Nobody would argue with that. I'd love to
I
know.
Tried
what...
to.
I tried to. One by one.
You would have been proud of me. Oh, yeah. It's just like the American Indians are buying back America one quarter at a time in the slot machine.
One shiny bead at a time.
Oh, yeah. One slot at a time. More about that after this. Joe has problems at home, and he's number 9 on the call. You got a call there? Joe, you're on. Talk about home. What's happening there? You got a problem?
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Long-time fan, by the way.
Outstanding.
I've never seen you guys at the 79 at the Garden.
You're not about to blame me for the problems at home, are you?
No, actually, I'll tell you, I got married real young. I got 4 daughters, and Mrs. woke up one day and said she doesn't want me anymore. She moves down to South Jersey. Well, push comes to shove. I got remarried, finally got the little boy I wanted. So, yeah, I remember you talking about, you know, separation of parents and stuff like that and hands-on and all of that. What happens is my present wife was totally behind me, didn't even have to fight for my children, got them dropped in my lap. Mom didn't want them. She goes down to Virginia, mobile home. I got the kids. Everybody's here. Great, right?
Sure.
Wrong. Guess what happened?
Okay, hold on. Wrong. What happens?
The new missus, who I love very much.
Yeah.
Only said that I should fight for the kids because that's the right thing for the wife to say. And now the invasion of my children and her space with my wife and my new son has become a real crash.
Okay, let me try and decipher what you're saying here. You're saying that you're with the new wife and now you've done what she said. You brought your kids there. You got the whole family and
right.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, what happened was...
Well, you're a scary judge of character. are you the one who picking these dames? Because I'm as bad at it as you are.
Excuse me?
Are you the one who's picking these dames? Because I'm as bad at it as you are.
Well, I tell you what. I work for a major, major top carrier service.
I work for a major, major jerk. Now, cut to the crash.
Yeah, no, well, I bring that up because I remember you saying something about having a little luck, too, which I totally have none.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Luck is you position yourself for luck, okay? I remember, right. I'm going to give you an analogy of luck really quickly here. I got a kayak that I put a sail on, okay? I made the sail out of a piece of bed sheet, and I hooked up the little mast and everything, and I was living down just on the side of Miami, Florida, and every morning I'd go out on that water. I'd go about 100 meters out on the water. Nobody else would be there during the summer. It's real hot. Day after day after day after day. No wind. Nothing. Sit out there. The supermodels are laughing at me. The guys who do the luggage at the hotel laughing at me. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Finally, the ninth day, super gale force wind. Roth is cutting up and down. Cutting inside, outside, looking good. Tilting the thing. Leaning over the edge like the America's Cup. And I come back and everybody goes, lucky mofo, baby.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's nothing really I can do. I just got to keep trying, and for the sake of the children. But I'm very hands-on. I want to know exactly what they're doing. I made plenty of trips down to South Jersey to.
Okay, hold on one second. Do you got your kids hooked up in all kinds of programs and stuff? And I don't mean drug programs. I mean whether for me it was the Boy Scouts. Oh, that was great, man. We had a ball.
You know what it is? There's no way for me to hook them up because the new wife is busy with the 1.5-year-old and doesn't even take my 10-year-old to school. I got someone else doing it because it's too overwhelming. But you know what? Overwhelming means applying yourself and trying to help out. Overwhelming does not mean that they're here and they're in my way.
I think you have a point, and please take me only half seriously. Have you ever thought about a small but manageable drinking problem?
I'm working on it.
I bet the daughter.
I was serious.
You know what? I can. I drive for a little.
I have one.
I have to be a weekend partier.
Say again? You're a weekend partier?
I drive for a living, so I'd have to do it on a weekend, and I can't do it on a weekend because I have my time taken up by the little ones.
Well,
so.
You know what? I'm completely joking with you.
I know.
But, you can also take the same approach that we do here in showbiz, and Tuesday's the first day of the weekend. God bless you for calling. I hope it all works out for you. Roth, 866-313-3733. He's a scary judge of character, huh?
Yeah, luck never includes 5 kids. Let's start there.
5 kids?
5 kids.
Wow.
I don't know what he was thinking.
Well,
and
he wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking.
And that was a beautiful way to start.
He was listening to loud black music of the day and then going home and acting it out is what was happening, like me.
And I love the part where he's got, I've got 4 daughters, and then I finally got the son I wanted. It's like,
those
girls are doomed.
This is Vegas. That's
doomed.
Right. He's not going to pay any attention to those girls.
And neither is the new mom.
And they're going to grow up like Mariah Carey's sister.
Right. That's right. One of the sisters will be arrested for prostitution.
I feel sorry for the 2 Rottweilers, the cat and the budgerigar.
But where was that from?
I don't know. The pet show.
Really? Could you imagine how he's treating his dog?
Are you in show business?
I tried once. Backed out.
Can he be controlled? Anyway. Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-3733. Number 13, Pittsburgh. Kids kicking and screaming. Well, we're kind of
repeating. What is this, the nanny?
I don't know. Maybe they're calling, maybe I'm responsible for the youth of today. I'd like to think so. I am keeper of the tribal knowledge. Okay, for the next 10 minutes, let me be like Dr. Phil. I will heal you.
We could be Dr. Phil and Dr. Laura.
Okay, I'm down. Here we go.
We can ruin another generation.
Here we go. Without even having to listen to the drum solo.
That's right.
I'm down. Here we go. Number 13, Bill from Pittsburgh. You're on.
Yeah, Dave.
Yes, sir.
I was listening earlier about you said that little girl in school kicking and screaming.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, my daughter does the same thing, but I think it's because it's listening to your crappy show.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Don't turn him off. That's my agent.
Put Benji on her, or put Dee Snider on or something. You know what I mean?
So, do you disagree with me about my theory about sometimes kids have to be restrained, or that how would you deal with a kid who's acting out, trying to bite the human beings you're trying to talk to her? She has to go from the school to somewhere. What would you suggest to do?
I think maybe just turn on. A different station, maybe, huh?
So, dude, what are you calling in for?
Yeah, what's your real station, moron?
That's what he listens to.
No. He only had a prepared comment. He's not used to riffing. Roth, 866-313-3733-3733. Lori from New Jersey, number 6. You are up. Lori,
hey,
are you there?
How are you?
I'm great, Lori. What's on your mind this morning?
I'm a first-time mom. I'm 38 years old. I waited. I thought I was going to get it all out of my system and calm down, because my mother was a little bit of a 60s hippie wild child, and I kind of lived through it with her, and I wanted to be everything she wasn't as a mom. So I waited, had the baby at 38. He's almost 1.5 years old. It seems like no matter how hard I try, That hippie mom still comes out in me sometimes. And now it's not the hippie mom. It's the, slap the old video in. And
oh, wait, let me hear that last sentence. Say that again.
I said it's not. I'm sorry. I'm really nervous.
No, go ahead, sweetie. We're listening.
It's now about trying to be the good, soccer mom. But instead, I'd rather be jamming in the living room with my son listening to a Dave video.
Okay, so what's the quandary? No, seriously.
The quandary is, you walk this line. You try not to be your parents, but no matter how hard you try, you still become them.
Como now sus pais, just exactly like our parents. That's right. So you're saying that there's a choice, you have to make a choice, that it's either soccer mom and junior is out playing soccer, or you'd rather be, quote-unquote, partying with your kid
in
the house.
So much not so much, partying, like in the sense of you know,
having fun.
Yeah, exactly, having fun. You want to fit the social norm, I guess, and you don't want to become the freak. Having grown up with a parent that I was raised listening to Led Zeppelin and Traffic and Jethro Tull.
Well, how come there's no balanced diet there? You understand?
I don't know how to find it. I don't know. So I find myself, instead of watching Barney, I'm watching, he gets a kick out of watching, looking at the cover of your Eat 'Em and Smile album.
Like, okay, well, it sounds like you're trying to relive your youth, sweetie, through your kid there. This is material that comes from a lot of years ago, and there's value to history, but it sounds like you lack the interest in the great outdoors, for example. It sounds to me like you're a little bit unidimensional there. Junior is capable of all kinds of languages, all kinds of pursuits. He's capable of kicking the soccer ball and sitting with mom and listening to the drum solo. He's capable of learning to swim, and he's capable of learning to read a paperback. He's capable of boxing, and he's also capable of tap dancing. Hey, that's some kid you got. You better keep up. I'm serious. Absolutely. Mom, catch up. Come on.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and you're absolutely right. And I just want to say you're doing a great job on your show. I think that
it sounds to me like you're about to do a real good job for the kid. Get started. Roth, 6 a.m. Don't go away.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Omówione najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
Roth, first thing in the morning, bottomless cup of attitude, and the second one's free, pal. Give us a call, 866-313-3733. Robin Bakaima, a very special guest, all the way out from Beverly Hills. How was the flight, babe?
Oh, it was lovely. Lovely. I actually had the screaming baby behind me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like people complain about that all the time, and it's never really happened to me, but there was one little kid. I felt bad for he was really a little kid, a toddler, and not even a toddler, a pre-toddler.
Was this in first class?
Yeah, he was like in one of those little kangaroo things.
I have less sympathy for little kids in first class. Why is that?
Well, there is a part of me that's like, what are they doing here? Aren't you supposed to be in coach with a nanny?
Aren't you supposed to be in luggage?
Mommy and daddy are up front. You're in coach.
Please stow all carry-on children safely beneath the seat in front of you.
Oh, and this poor kid, I'm sure his ears were going crazy or something, but oh, was he wailing.
I wonder if that's like a natural thing or if that can be taught to a kid, because I've been on planes before where the kids were cool or whatever. I don't know, maybe they were sedated. I know I was, but
I'll tell you, I sedate mine.
Maybe the more I sedate myself, the more tolerant I am of kids. You think?
A little extra NyQuil.
With enough NyQuil, I could possibly think about marriage, With enough NyQuil, you start thinking unthinkable.
With enough NyQuil, yeah, you can think about anything.
All right. We have Sandra, Mom Mistakes. That sounds like a book. That sounds like something that would be on Oprah. Number 9, Sandra.
Hi, David. I love you, first of all. I just want to tell you that.
Thank you, dear.
My question to you is this. I'm actually a recovering addict. I have a 12-year-old.
What kind of addict, sweetie?
Everything.
Virtually everything? You have an addictive nature. Anything worth doing is worth overdoing, right?
I'm addicted to cream cheese.
Yeah. Okay, well, you're preaching to the choir. I am so got your back. Go ahead, sweetie.
So my 12-year-old didn't live with me for a while, and when I got custody of her, I started just buying her everything she wanted. Now I have a baby.
Addict.
Addicted to shopping, yeah.
Now I have a baby who's still in the NICU. She's coming out tomorrow. And
Say that last sentence. I'm sorry.
My baby is coming out of the hospital tomorrow, my newborn. She was a preemie. Her name's Skylar.
Oh, okay. So you have a new kid now. You have a second daughter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I got married. I got married. I cleaned up my life. And my question to you is, what can I do so I don't make the same mistakes? Because I know it's going to be hard not to give this one everything to try to compensate for the first one.
Well, you got
to
stop thinking of giving everything the way you experienced it, okay? The best, reach for the classic American stuff. And for me, it was always the classic American school routine. And not necessarily religious, though that was a little bit of part of it for me, but it was the Boy Scouts, it was the YMCA, it was swimming lessons, it was martial arts lessons, it was highly disciplinary music lessons. My two cousins, Peter and Pearl Zukovsky, were the first and second clarinet chair in the LA Philharmonic for the whole time that I was a kid, so I played saxophone, and I had serious Eastern Bloc. No, that doesn't sound right. Some stuff that my parents would never say to me. And it formatted in me the capacity to learn, if nothing else. Obviously, I'm no saxophone player. Obviously, I'm no great swimmer. And I couldn't whip my way out of a wet paper bag if there was a time limit. But what I do know how to do is get things done. I ain't the best looking, baby, but I'm the right tool for the job just about every time. And I've become almost a permanent student because of that. What we learned growing up, and I'm 51, is all the toys, all the candy, all the sugar. That was, you know, give it to us, because my parents had come through the Depression. My parents had come through a whole lot of wartime issue, especially my uncles and stuff. Like Uncle Manny was from World War II. So, you know, there's a lot of deprivation and stuff. So, great. Here's some breakfast cereal for you, kid. Here's some extra clothing for you, kid. Here's some allowance for you. Here's some more allowance for you. And I have relatives that positively ruined. I didn't really even have a television set till I was 7 years old. My dad rode a bicycle to the hospital when he was a resident. We didn't even have a car. And ultimately, that really set my values. What do we think about what I'm telling you?
I think that you're right, but I know that, you know, as an addict, and I guess as a human being, you still just want to give your kids whatever they want, knowing that it's, you know.
Well, if you're a real human being, you're going to knock off the self-indulgent nonsense drivel, and you're going to start thinking in terms of what the benefit for the kid's going to be.
Yeah, don't you think that when you start giving your kids all that stuff, you're not really, I mean, you're giving it to the kids, but what you're really doing is filling that hole in you. You're giving it to you so you don't feel bad.
I truly believe that, and that's why I want to know, like, how do you stop that?
You just heard it in stereo. You cowboy up, girl. You toughen up. You add up. You don't. You stop your whining to yourself. Look in the mirror and say, yo, Bond, James Bond, instead of, oh, I'm going to turn into a pumpkin.
It's just like, given
which, by the way, I've done all of this. That's how I know how to make the voice go right.
Well, thank you very much, David, and good luck.
You know what the first start is? Hey, you know what the first start is? Reading. What? Okay, I make a joke. You know what, Jewish kids, when we go to the beach, we take a paperback instead of a football. And it makes a big, big difference. And you know what? You're probably not going to grow a scholastic academician, and don't even ask me what that really means, much less spell it. But what you will do is have somebody who knows how to do homework. I work with production managers, program directors, station managers who can't even freaking spell homework. Get your kid into a reading class. Like when they're 3 years old, start with the reading. You read to them. See, spot, run. You start there, and you'll be astonished at what kind of formatting that does for your kid right there. The whole idea is learn how to take care of business. How many of these gorgeous bikini models out there wandering around going, I have a genius IQ. Really, where do you keep it, hot stuff? Get busy and tell them Roth sent you. Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-3733.
You know, taking those paperbacks, the Torahs, to the beach, what a drag. Having to unscroll those things, and there's like sand all over everything. And, ugh. Bad memories.
Well, now, you know what? Paperbacks take on different meaning over different periods of time. Like, when I started really adventuring, and I started traveling, my area of expertise, AOE, is maritime camping. That means by the ocean, it means by the rivers or by the lakes, wherever there is a deep water, okay? Because it's a whole different kind of camping than a high mountain or high altitude, whole different kind of camping than desert or temperate climate, okay? And in maritime camping, you always have rain. When I was in New Guinea, we were there, oh, geez, I forget, 6 weeks or some such, and it rained all day, every day. There's no sunlight, ever.
Why would you do that?
Well, that's a whole long story. But no, seriously, there's nothing. Just constant rain. And only an idiot brings toilet paper. Oh, yeah, because guaranteed after the fourth day, everybody's going to have dysentery. Everybody's going to have the Pepto-Bismol. That means two steps up and, oh, two steps back. Right? And within 4 days of hiking, you're going to do about 10 hours a day up in the Highland Jungles, and you're going to reach in that backpack, and everything's going to be soaked. And then you're going to remember, Dave told me to get a paperback, a big, fat one, like one of those James Clavell Shogun novels, yeah, like 600 pages worth, and start reading 4 days before you get on the airplane. Because you want to be about four chapters deep into the book.
To use it?
When you get dysentery, turn up the music while this dawns. Number 12, violence begets violence. Johnny, you're on. Give us number 12.
Hey, David Lee.
Johnny, how are you tonight?
Good, good, good. The more I hear, the more I got to throw in my opinion on a few things. Violence does beget violence. I was raised by an alcoholic parent, and he used to beat me constantly, and I was always fighting.
Well, wait, did he beat you constantly for no reason, or was it supposedly because you were acting up?
There was times there was reasons, and there were times there wasn't reasons, you know. So I didn't know when it was going to be time for a beating or not time for a beating, if I deserved it or didn't deserve it. You know, the smallest thing could end up, you know, him breaking out the belt and whipping me, you know?
My father and I used to fight over chess. Every night after dinner, he'd go, "We're going to play chess." And my sisters and my mom would literally put their face in their hands and clear the dishes completely off the table. Because invariably, every third game ended with the board thrown across the room and the pieces everywhere and everybody screaming and yelling. So I have a vague idea of what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Right, but my point is that I got three of my own. And
three what?
I try not to, you know, physically harm them. I didn't appreciate it, being beaten, you know, and I don't think they would appreciate it. So I think from what I'm listening to what you're saying, the best thing with the children, like the girl that you were just talking to that had the newborn, the addict,
yes,
spend time. Yeah. You don't have to spend money. Spend time.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're right on the money there, because how much does it cost to read spot one? Read, spot, run. And I did say that the way I meant. No, I have a poetic license, and I'm not afraid to use it, buddy. No, seriously, we used to go to the library because we had no money. My mom took us to the library.
Remember the bookmobile?
Oh, totally. Remember the special bus? Hey, those
very
are real allegations. No, we used to go to the library routinely, 2-3 times a week, and my mom would take us to, we couldn't afford to go to concerts when I was living in Boston, so we would always go to the rehearsals of the Philharmonic, and we would go to the rehearsals of the opera, and we would go like to the last free rehearsal of the Boston Pops before they would start their season and everything, and we didn't spend a dime. When we finally did have television, I was well past that. When we finally did have fancy stereo, I was well past that. Cars, I remained interested in those. Thanks for calling, my friend. Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-3733. What's the timeout generation? Oh, timeout is instead of getting hit. I'm glad I didn't. Oh. I'm glad I didn't grow up with that. David from Boston, talk to me about the timeout generation on number 13. Hit it up, Hutch. Yo, you're on.
Yo, Dave. I think you can wrap up this whole subject with what I term it as the timeout generation. I don't claim to craft that term, but I think it speaks for itself. I think we're looking at a whole generation of kids who have been disciplined with this method called the timeout. Timeout, you go in the corner. Timeout, you go to your room. Timeout from everything that you're doing wrong. But there's nothing regarding their discipline that's teaching them what they're doing wrong. And plus, just what you said earlier about litigation and everything else, you can't touch these kids anymore. It's ridiculous. And
if you're doing your job, you shouldn't have to touch the kids. If you're doing your job as a parent, what do you need to beat your kids for? If you're teaching them what they're supposed to know, if you're teaching them how to be good people, how to be good people, why do you need to beat your kids?
Well, you know what? It's not even at that point now. It's not even touching somebody. It's if you raise your voice into command mode, is if you create a hostile environment in the school place, if you create a hostile environment for the kids learning, if you endanger the child's sensitivities or what have you. Usually all it takes is every now and then a slap on the ass, standard spanking style, before you're two digits old. But what's happening now reaches all the way up into to the military. Now you have the yellow card. If you feel the drill sergeant's yelling at you too loud, show the yellow card so you can go have a little time out.
Oh, I don't know about
that.
What's the yellow card?
I think that was Hillary Clinton established that. I don't know if that's still the process, but
it's a grown up timeout.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And
I want one.
Oh, routinely, and we see this. It's again, it becomes a. Hush is showing up. You know what? I'm going to continue this right after these spots. Go for it, bro.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings,